WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment.
AIDS versus youth in a Goodwill exhibition match.
Wrestle Talk Radio. Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling.
You can't just turn off and on like some radio.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Boy, you really look good for an older guy.
Mace.
He's not a machine. He's a man.
Omega.
You know, you're developing a very, very loud personality.
And the producer. Sir Rocket.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a.
Hey, this is former WWE Superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is Booker T, five-time WCW champ, and you're listening to WTR Sunday Night.
Don't stop listening or I will find you. I know where you live. I have to see the earth.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yo, it's about time.
That's it, you big sex sucker!
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, where we finally have an intro that's topical!
Even though it may not have been 24 hours ago.
Total coincidence.
All I'm saying is, it matches. It fits. I'm not complaining, I'm just saying.
It worked this time.
For once.
Yeah, emanating from Philly, we had the WWE Night of Champions.
Even though it was in Houston?
Was it?
Yeah. Houston, we have a problem with Omega's microphone. Anyway.
Got too much Philly in my head today.
Philly sucks. Uh-oh.
Keep going.
All right. I'm getting there. So yeah, Night of Champions from Houston.
Sucker.
As always, it is the post pay-per-view recap show. We are here to give our thoughts and opinions on what may or may not have been a show that happened. So, with that said, I am the end-all, be-all, and occasional geography buff, the Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
Yo, I don't know what everybody's talking about. Look, I've been outside the stadium all night watching this one ring. I haven't seen a goddamn single match all night. Mind you, for some reason, I see Renee Young, Corey Graves, and Booker T on the commentary desk. But even then, they're not commentating any matches because there are no matches going on in this ring.
It's God versus Little Jimmy in a 3-hour Iron Man.
Probably better than some of the shit we got tonight.
And, of course, as usual, we have at the head of the table the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to a Night of Champions edition of WTR Sunday Night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Special thanks and shout-out going out to PWMania.com, our affiliate website, I guess you could call them, for all of your professional wrestling news and views. Check them out, PWMania.com. Yeah. And I'm going to just say this right off the top. I don't care what any of the haters say. This was a fun pay-per-view.
You're totally wrong, Tim. This was an awful pay-per-view. This was the worst pay-per-view in the history of pay-per-views. Did you know that?
Oh, no. We're not doing the Tony Schiavone dissing WWE crap. Forget it. No.
It put butts in seats, goddammit.
That's all that matters. No, there's a lot of good stuff happened tonight, and the sign of a really good pay-per-view is when it goes off the air, you still want to watch more. And overall, for the most part, that's the feeling I got tonight from Night of Champions. It's weird because, as most of you probably know, we usually run a Skype – well, usually always run a Skype chat during the pay-per-views. And we were all befuddled, baffled, and dumbfounded because – holy Christ, we saw women's matches with ring psychology. We saw intelligence. We saw good booking overall, tying up loose ends, etc., etc. And we couldn't
believe
it.
Hold me, I'm scared.
Yes.
It's Mace, the apocalypse.
I think Mace plugged in his nightlight halfway through the pay-per-view tonight.
The Ultimate Warrior nightlight will always keep me safe. So. Once again, thank you, Omega, for sending it.
It's, I still laugh at that.
That was one of the greatest things you've ever sent him.
Yeah. So just a little caveat about the main event with Sting taking on Seth Rollins. It looked like Sting took a couple of legitimate serious smacks to the back of the head and right between his shoulder blades. And everybody's wondering, was he legitimately hurt or was he selling the shit out of it? And I'll tell you right now, if he was selling the shit out of it, he did a damn good job and he could teach a few things to a few people. But we're going to keep track of updates as the evening progresses during the webcast. And if any news reports come out that he did get hurt, then definitely we will keep you updated on that one. But if he didn't legitimately get hurt, you know, props to him for selling the way he did. Holy Christ!
Yeah, he did a good job at selling.
Wow.
Yeah.
He has been doing it for a little while. Yeah, I don't know if you're aware since he you know just debuted last year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Now come on. Now in that same vein, John Cena's been doing it for a little while, but it pisses me off the way he doesn't know how to sell.
Yeah, Jimmy Corderas was live tweeting the show, and you could see he was trying to pick up on things, and you know he thought the referee was doing a good job of treating this like it was an actual shoot injury. So. At least to him, he thought it was, it was a work, but we'll see.
Good old Jimmy Corderas, you gotta love Jimmy.
So there you go.
WWE operates now. It's like if you know they thought they canceled a match halfway through because they thought because someone in the match said they had a broken finger.
Hmm.
But like if they thought they seriously wrecked Sting up, that match would have been done.
Actually, now that he keeps tweeting, he thinks it was a legit injury, so he may have actually been hurt. So we'll see.
And if anybody is at least a semi-expert on stuff like this, it would be Jimmy.
Yeah, he's been, you know, ref for 20-plus years.
So, and like I said, we'll be keeping an eye on all the dirt sheets and websites. Oh, speaking about dirt sheets, Rock.
Let's get to our first match.
There's going to be some dirt coming your way. We'll tell you about that in a little bit. But because I was working, because, you know, it's Sunday and that's what you do, I missed a good portion of the pre-show kickoff.
I was sulking, so I didn't see much of it. So
why were you sulking?
Because I was. We're not talking about it.
Too late. I brought it up. Why were you sulking?
We're moving on to Stardust and the Ascension taking on the Lucha Dragons and Neville.
You're such a pussy. So, okay, what happened?
It was a solid match between the two teams, I thought. What'd you guys think?
It was okay, I guess. It was what was needed to progress the feud. It was a match. We got it for free. We got our money's worth.
Yeah, I unfortunately missed most of it because I was just coming back from the store.
Okay, so none of us really paid full attention to the pre-show. Though I do know there was a nice spot where the Lucha Dragons dove through the ropes and Neville did a moonsault onto everybody at ringside. Neville went for a red arrow, got cut off. Stardust shoved Victor into him, hit the crossroads, or whatever he's calling it now. And Stardust and the Ascension actually picked the win. So, good stuff. Good
well, did this match do anything to hype the crowd up for, to get him prepared for the pay-per-view?
I wouldn't say that.
Yeah, you just call it. Yeah, it's filler. It's just shit to throw out there because it's not going to be good enough for an actual pay-per-view event, so we might as well give it away for free. You know, this is what we do most of the time because we're the WWE. Just speculating.
Hey, like I said, it was free and we got our money's worth. What more do you want?
There you go. What else can you say about it, for Christ's sakes? Get on with it. There you go. All right. And, of course, from there, we've got the pay-per-view proper kicking off. And I really liked the match that they opened up with, even though it had Ryback in it.
Yeah, this is actually not a bad match for two guys that are like biggish in stature. Very impressive watching Ryback deadlift Kevin Owens near the end of the match, so that was quite impressive.
I thought it was impressive when he pressed slammed him out of the ring.
That was also impressive too. It's like
that's God a test. Like Owens is not a small man, so
you know. Ryback showed a little bit of strength on more than one occasion during this match, and I was just like, "Holy Christ! Did he just pick Kevin up that way?"
Yes, he did.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was kind of impressive, and of course. The course of events led to Kevin Owens actually winning the Intercontinental title off of Ryback. And I'm thinking, damn, good.
That's actually a decent move.
It's one of those logical decisions that you need to make. You know, Ryback hasn't exactly been the healthiest of people lately. And frankly, you know, they need some way to get some, I wouldn't really say heat back on Owens, but, you know, something to keep him a bit more relevant.
Credibility.
Yeah, that works.
Credibility is a very good word for this.
Yeah, because he comes storming in, beating Cena in his first match ever on WWE main TV, and kind of floundered from there.
Yeah, he's like, well, what are we going to do with him? And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what he says or who he cheap shots. The crowd is so behind KO. It's almost unbelievable, and I'm thinking, how long are they going to resist the face turn? I can't help but wonder.
They can resist it quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, don't. It's marketing right now.
I mean, like, don't do something stupid. I think we're all in the same. We're all in an accord here. Don't do something stupid and turn them babyface just because the crowd is behind them. Keep them a heel and let the crowd cheer him. That's fine. He still gets his share of boos, and it just works. It just works. And it's not the anti-hero thing that Austin was doing. It's something totally different.
You just let him be him.
Let Kevin Owens be Kevin Owens. Exactly.
Because if you try to make him likable, it will kill Kevin Owens.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. I'm just not a chance.
He's not a likable guy. He's not the person you want to go up and run up and give a hug to.
Well, in person, if you were to meet him, you'd discover just how great of a person he really is. But let's not break kayfabe.
Yeah. I'm not saying he's not a good person. He's just not a likable person.
Yeah, no, Kevin Steen, the man, is a fantastic dude. He's really good. He has no problems telling you that you do something stupid when you call somebody by their real name instead of their wrestling name. Right, Mace?
Yeah, until he realizes that you got history, and then he's like, okay, fair enough.
Okay, good.
It also depends on what day you catch him, too. Like, if he's half asleep, he doesn't really give a shit.
Well, Christ, when you're on an airplane for 23 hours, the last thing I want to do is be really nice to you.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so. But he did a pretty good job anyway, so. Owens wins the title, and I can't for the life of me remember what my pick'em pick was, but we'll get to all of that at the end of our pay-per-view talk. But fun match.
Yeah, it was a fun match.
I'm not so sure about the way that Owens got the win, though, raking the eyes.
Well, that was the heel thing to do. By the way, you had Ryback.
Yeah, I did have Ryback. I knew it. God damn it. I probably got 3 right and 5 wrong tonight.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Don't tell me maybe. I know I did. So, but yeah, right after that, we've got a beautiful promo courtesy of Paul Heyman talking about Brock Lesnar's Go to Hell tour.
Well, yeah, can we skip to late October, please?
No,
I want to skip these next like 3 weeks.
Yeah, let's just wait.
Can we go straight to the 19th of October, please?
I thought it was the 26th.
No, the 19th is Austin and Lesnar in a...
I want
the podcast, and then the week later is the... Yeah,
it's Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, for those wondering what the Go to Hell tour is, Brock Lesnar versus Big Show at Madison Square Garden. Brock Lesnar appears on the Stone Cold podcast. And then we get Hell in a Cell, Brock Lesnar, Undertaker.
for the blow-off match, I guess I'll call it.
Yeah, they were. That's what they were basically calling it. It is the final encounter between the two. That's...
We could all pretty much care less about Big Show and Lesnar. We just, like, let's just skip down 3 weeks.
Well, if they're doing the same booking they did last time where at that Rumble, Brock beat Big Show and then went to Mania to fight The Undertaker. This one's just in a quicker time span.
Yeah, so.
So Big Show's the warm-up for The Undertaker.
Eat, sleep, go to hell, repeat. I love that.
Coming to a t-shirt near you, most likely.
Oh, hell yes.
Most likely tomorrow.
I'm telling you right now, after the sign that I saw outside of a church today on my way to work, party in hell canceled due to fire, I want that t-shirt. Eat, sleep, go to hell, repeat. And then I want to go to that church wearing the t-shirt. So after that promo, we got the, in my opinion, worst match of the night, which still wasn't all that bad. Although this whole entire storyline angle bunch of crap is bullshit as far as I'm concerned. And, of course, I'm talking about Dolph Ziggler taking on Rusev.
Oh, my God. She was touching the earrings. Oh, my God. Did you see that? She was touching...
Was that not obvious enough for you? Did she need to do more?
She was touching the earrings that Ziggler gave her. Oh, my God. She must like them. Oh, no.
The earrings.
I'm sorry. I didn't notice that. I was too busy wondering why Ziggler... had Lana's face on his crotch.
Rick Rude, a little bit?
I'm just thinking, you know, maybe it's wishful.
Well, I'm thinking, wishful if thinking. wouldn't you want Lana on your crotch? But, you know.
Yeah, you didn't want to go quite that far, but too late, you already did.
So if he was a heel, it'd be a great dick move, but instead of this, no, woman on the dick.
Okay, are we not doing phrasing?
Before you knew Lana was...
No. I'm not letting this go that easy.
No.
Not doing phrasing? He called it a dick move to have Lana in his crotch.
I got to. But what he did, without us knowing Lana was on his Titans, he kissed his hands and then touched his crotch when he came out. Watch it. If you still have the stream up.
He gave his dick a good luck kiss.
Yes. Yeah, there you go.
Go watch it. It's about to come back on here in a minute on the replay.
Oh, yeah. Let me turn the stream back on so I can see Ziggler playing with himself before the match.
With his one-inch dick.
Really, Tim?
They said it was 1 inch.
Well,
how do you know?
I was referring to what you said once, and we have a clip of it.
Somewhere.
I've got it very handy.
Of course you do.
It's like right there in that folder that's called audio. And I do believe it's in the subfolder, Shit Omega Has Said. Anyway, I didn't give two shits about this match, really, to tell you the truth. I mean, we got the interference by Summer. She gets tossed out. Rusev doing his standard shit. Ziggler doing his standard shit. Here's the thing, Ziggler winds up after, the sneak surprise zigzag thanks to Summer's accidental interference.
You mean,
and
we
he,
can go
he
ahead.
Gets on Rusev.
Yeah, here, sums up it like this.
Like a good table.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Never mind. Wrong clip.
Wrong one. Try the other one.
Hold on.
Don't care. We'd rather that one any day of the week.
Here's the right one.
Oh, that really hurt. I'm gonna have a lump there, you idiot.
Sure
who throws a shoe? Honestly.
There you go.
Aaron, in case you're wondering, why the hell did he play that goddamn clip from Austin Powers? It's because she threw her shoe, damn it!
She did.
And the first thing that I read in Skype chat was from Omega, who throws a shoe? Really? 30 seconds later, what's his name from WWE tweeted exactly what Omega said, and I'm thinking... Get the hell out of our Skype chat.
That's what I saw it on Twitter, too. It's an easy joke.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. It was too easy, but still. I was trying to give you credit, and you just like, nah, forget it. Fine. Okay. I try. But here's the thing. How heavy, tomorrow night on Raw, will the announcers speculate that Summer and Dolph were actually in cahoots, and she did that to make sure that he could get the win?
Don't care. I am so sick of this feud.
Could you put a couple of claps right after you say that?
I don't care.
There you go. That worked too. So, yeah, Ziggler beating Rusev, and, you know, this stupid soap opera's over, not over and done with just yet, unfortunately. This was the blackest mark of the night. Terrible. But, yeah, whatever, moving on. We have the New Day defending their tag team titles against the Dudley Boys. And I tell you, I did not know Rufio could play trombone.
Xavier Woods continues to be the most entertaining thing in WWE.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And they had a petition to save the tables, including the Authority, Bill Nye, and Jake from State Farm, and that's where this clip came in handy.
Like a good table, New Day is there!
They're getting better on their harmonizing, I think. That's why that, at the end, was what it was. Because, oops, we did good. We better fuck it up. But, yeah. I hate to admit it. I'm just digging the comedy from New Day. And I hate to admit it because from day one, I have not been a fan of this. But, damn it, they make me laugh.
Welcome to the club, Tim. We've been waiting for you.
It's just one of those things you hate to like it. It's like a guilty pleasure that you don't want to have but can't help yourself.
No, fuck guilty. I love the New Day.
Yeah, there is no guilt associated with this. This is just fucking awesome.
They took a really shitty situation and turned it around so goddamn hard.
Well, no, they're comedy gold. They really are. I mean, like, especially with Woods, like tonight with the Rufio hair. I love the crowd. Rufio, Rufio.
I love that the crowd knew what it was.
Yeah, and you gotta wonder when shit like that happens. Like, was the crowd that savvy? Or did they get some kind of prompting?
The prompting was a red triple mohawk.
I don't mean that, but yeah, okay. They were planned for
No. you obviously very underestimate the appeal of the movie Hook.
Well, yeah, this is modern day, you know, 90s nostalgia geek culture, and
I know. I mean, Jesus. Yeah, I love that movie. It was absolutely trashed by the critics, but I will to this day still on a Sunday Sunday for me is Tuesday. So like on a Tuesday afternoon after I've got, you know, my entire weekend all taken care of, I will flip that on. And I've seen that movie about 10 times this year already. So, but damn, it was fun. Of course, New Day winds up retaining their titles. But the Dudleys won the match via DQ, thanks to Xavier Woods interfering on a pin count, coming into the ring and smacking. Who was that? Bubba Ray in the back of the head?
Yeah, one of them. I don't remember who he came in and attacked, but I don't remember.
I think it was Bubba Ray.
Could have been Bubba. One of them. One of the Dudley Boys, since they both look alike, just like the Bellas.
they're identical fucking twins. Twin magic.
Fucking Dudley Bubba style. Magic, yeah.
Yeah, Bubba magic, there you go.
I hate when the Dudley Boys used to pull that fucking switch and Bubba would roll out and Spike would roll in.
And nobody would be
No one caught it.
Yeah. people don't believe us. We're not serious. Anyway. Fuck. I like this match. It was good. You know, the Dudleys going the way they've been going. They've been going for, what, 20 years now? Over 20 years?
Almost 20 years.
Yeah, like, you know, you still got it. Clap, clap, clap. And this is right in the middle of the match where Big E is just screaming in Bubba's face. Old man, you know, it's us. Go away. Go home. Go home. And then Bubba just, boom, throws him halfway across the ring to land flat on his ass. And is like, oh, shit.
I just love the spot with the trombone. And when they're stopping him in the corner, Woods just continues to play the trombone.
Yep. Yeah. And, yeah, this is where tonight's intro theme ties in this match. Because, of course, Xavier Woods actually played a refrain from Gonna Fly Now, theme from Rocky. And that's how it became very apropos to have put together the intro that I put together for tonight's show. It made Mace emoticon smile, emoticon laugh in the Skype chat. So,
Because it's such...
Yeah, sometimes you actually get shit right, Tim.
Well, hey, I'm like a broken clock. You know, even a broken clock's right twice a day.
It's such good heel play.
Yep.
Because not only is it entertaining as hell, it's like, it's a very fresh wound, okay? Like, okay, I'm going to reference the football now, so if I get something wrong, please correct me, Rock.
Okay.
Today, the Eagles broke Tony Romo?
Yes, they did.
Very fresh wound.
Mm-hmm.
And Xavier uses kind of a nostalgic reference in order to play on that mid-match. Kind of brilliant.
Yeah, he did.
And I'm currently under the belief that the whole reason for the trombone is to prevent any upload on YouTube of these matches because they'll all get copyright flagged.
Right. Now, before we go...
Yeah, I never thought about that until you pointed it out tonight.
Now, before we go any farther into the show, can you explain why you know about the football?
Because it takes over my fucking Twitter and Facebook.
And he has no choice.
No, and what was the one tweet you knew about Tony Romo?
God, did I know about a tweet from... What?
No, for whose tweet did you find?
Oh.
your source...
Oh, well, yeah, Iron Sheik's.
His source for football, Iron Sheik.
Fuck the Cowboys. And at this point in time, fuck Green Bay.
Yeah, go Eagles, go. Is Green Bay winning?
Green Bay.
Yeah, Green Bay 26-17 over the Seahawks at the moment.
Oh shit! What quarter?
Fourth.
Okay. How much time left?
I will tell you as soon as they stop showing a replay of an interception that looked absolutely terrible.
Okay. Yeah. See, here's the problem when you put Green Bay and Seattle head to head, because those are my two NFL teams and they're playing each other. So for me, at the same time, it's win-win and lose-lose because I don't want
to. 6:50 to go.
Okay. Well, so yeah, Seattle still has a chance. My problem is I can't decide which team I like, you know, which one has the edge, personally speaking.
Green Bay.
No, I'm not talking – no, I'm talking like personally speaking, which one I like more, which one has the edge with me.
Should be Green Bay. Just putting it on.
Okay, can we – maybe we should wake Omega back up.
So, Maze, let's talk about World of Warcraft now, shall we?
Yeah, I've actually been able to start leveling characters once again, and I can do it in about 2 days.
Very nice, very nice.
Hey,
again, we should always talk about, you know, something absolutely great, like, you know, maybe a new Mega Man game. No? Okay.
Don't do that to me.
Once again, everybody, you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's called Wild Talk Radio for a goddamn reason. Not because it's wild, it's just like, what the hell? They're supposed to be talking about this, but they put Omega to sleep. Guess they're not talking about this. What's next?
Anyway,
oh, yes.
Anyway, Woods got the ate the table after they did. Woods.
Wait, before you do that, New Day, they proved themselves to be hypocrites because they were going to drive the Dudleys through the table. And what's been going on for the last 3 weeks? Save the tables. Save the tables. Huh? Hypocritical pricks.
Well, aren't all heels hypocritical? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Shut up and quit making sense.
I know, we're not allowed to do that, I know. But yeah, Xavier Woods ate the table, and wow, there's one really upset fan on Twitter.
Was it still real to him, damn
someone
it?
Someone salty.
Anyway, cool. Continue on.
So, up next, the match, one of the matches that people were looking forward to, but at the same time, not so much, because they're not so sure if the Divas Revolution is actually just hiccuping a little bit, or if they fucked it up completely. And of course, I'm talking about Charlotte challenging Nikki for the Divas title, with the stipulation, it doesn't matter if Brie Bella has smaller boobs, totally different hair color, and no butt implants. As long as she dresses in the same color outfit as Nikki, they can still pull twin magic. This time does matter. If they were to do that, Nikki could wind up losing her title via disqualification, count out, or any of that other crap.
tonight.
It's not even. Oh, hey, well, if they wear the same shirt, they can do twin magic. If they wear the same color, no. Like, Bree's got jet black hair. Nikki's got hers bleached blonde. It's not even remotely close anymore.
No, and tonight Nikki was doing her best job to expose her entire self to the world.
You see me complaining?
I'm just saying. I'm just pointing out facts.
This is the second match of the night where
This is what happens when you give the rundown before the match and go, Nikki, go out there and show them what got you that championship in the first place.
Well, no, she can't do that because then that would be a porn video because you know she was on her knees in front of John Cena.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you for explaining another goddamn joke to me.
I had to explain it to certain individuals who I know are listening and don't get it.
Look, just because you listened to these archives back home just to remember what we talked about last week.
What did we talk about last week?
So speaking of knees, the match had a focus, and it was the knee.
Well, let me just get back on my train. This is the second match of the night. One of us in Skype chat pointed out, holy fuck, they're using real ring psychology, which is double surprising because it's a Divas match. We're not used to this
shit.
That would be
me who pointed that out, only out of purely, holy shit, what the fuck.
This was like a total holy shit, what the fuck, this is starting to make sense moment, and we're not used to this. Courtesy of Mace, and he was
right.
Yeah,
it was scary.
My God, of course, they go and attack Charlotte's knee. It was the left knee, right?
When she came down, she went onto her right knee, and oh, no, my left, gotta go to my left. It was the one slip up. Like, she looked at her right knee and then went to her left. I was like, oh, okay. But then she stole the left the rest of the way.
There were a couple of things that we had problems with during this match. They were minor, but they were niggly and naggly. And for those who have worked in the business, it gets to be a little glaring.
Like what, Tim?
The way Charlotte won the Divas title. Yes, everybody, Charlotte won the title. Nikki is no longer champion. Here's the problem. There was too much heel offense. This was pointed out by Mace. I'm not taking credit for this. Too much heel offense for the majority of the match. And I told Mace, like, as soon as Mace said that, I said, that means that we're going to have an amazing comeback, three moves, and Charlotte wins the title. Holy shit. What happened? Amazing comeback. I think it was four moves, and Charlotte wins the title. So it was off by one. No big deal. But, Mace, how did she win the title?
She won the title with the figure eight, which is her main deal.
Why do we have a problem with that?
Because psychologically speaking, if you've worked somebody's knee to this degree in a match, to the point where the person can't even put part of their own body weight on their leg, then using a bridging move, which puts a lot more pressure on the fucking knee, should not even be fathomable.
This goes to the producers who put together this match. What she should have finished with was natural selection, which is her flip move.
That's her other move, and that would have worked better. And it's just at the point right now where I'm saying, are they telling these people, look, finish, you know, like you're going to go over, this is what you're going to do, and this is how you're going to react, but you are going over, so get the win your way. Or are they that dumb that they're saying, okay, Nikki worked the shit out of her left knee, and then when it comes time for you guys to finish the match, Charlotte, put on the figure eight.
I think the part of the problem was they haven't fully established the natural selection on the main roster yet, so not many people know, oh, hey, she has another move. Because they did that once on SmackDown, and the announcer didn't even call the move.
Yeah.
Or, no, that was on Raw. She did that on Raw because Rich Brand actually knew the move. But on Raw, Michael Cole didn't know the move, natural selection. And if you don't establish the move, it's hard to go, oh, hey, she should win with this, when you've been featuring this move for the last 2 months since she's been on TV.
Other than that, I'm sure the majority of people watching weren't thinking this, but stuff like this, it just really screams to us. To me, Mace, Omega. I'm assuming that it kind of screams up at you too.
Yeah, it did bug me when I saw it.
Yeah.
You don't play that kind of game unless there's a payoff.
Yeah. Now, yeah. I'm not saying that today's wrestling fan is dumber than the wrestling fan from the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they dumb things down and don't really think things through properly.
No. You imagine working on a cake all day and taking an hour to frost it, and once the whole thing is frosted and ready, you go and eat a pie.
That's a little glaring, but essentially, yeah.
Like, I can understand the whole thing of we should have suspension of disbelief, you know, but to be honest, when suspension of disbelief gets broken, which it does quite often in professional wrestling, you have to sit back and sort of go, well, shit, that just didn't make any sense. And this is where I keep bringing up movie comparisons. Like, okay, sure, half a building can explode and, you know, the hero makes it out even though his head was engulfed by fire and 700 acid-spitting snakes, but that's a movie. You know, we know that's all in a realm of fantasy. When you're watching something live, you expect it to at least follow some sort of logical pathway, which this didn't. Like, you know, work a leg an entire match, and then, oh, all of a sudden she can put on the figure eight due to extreme pain. No. I'm sorry, motherfuckers would not bridge up like that and put that much pressure onto a knee and risk it blowing out to win a match, even if you are putting it on for, like, 10 seconds.
You know, and here's the thing. I do remember watching Ric Flair matches, Bret Hart matches, Shawn Michaels matches, where they've used the ring psychology and, oh, shit, you know, they've really worked on Rick's leg. He's going to win, but he can't win by using the figure four. He tried it, and it hurts too much, so he winds up having to do something different, but he still gets a win. Somebody's beating the crap out of Bret's back, just stomping it like crazy, throwing him in turnbuckle after turnbuckle. And he goes to try to slap on the sharpshooter, and he can't do it because his back is all buggered up. So he wins a different way, you know?
Yeah, it's
that's the only hiccup.
Small points of logic is just, we're just saying, you know, we were enthralled by the match. It was a great match. Not going to try and take much away from it. It's just that the ending itself just didn't make sense.
Well, I'll admit it. We're getting nitpicky, but when you get a pay-per-view like we had tonight, you got to be nitpicky because it was so damn good overall.
Now,
really.
My only gripe about this match, they took some of the drama away from Monday night. Because I think everyone kind of
Monday night never should have bloody happened.
Everyone figured Charlotte was winning tonight, so there's like, you know, when you talk about the comeback and everything, you just didn't get, everyone knew that was going to be it. There was no real drama at the end. I think what happened Monday kind of ruined it just a little bit, and that's why I think Monday would have been the better night to change the belt. But that's just me.
Yeah, but they still could have had a DQ or a non-finish and then have Steph come out and say, okay, do it on Sunday at Night of Champions. And it's just like Monday's match, I loved it and everything, but it just the whole thing just wound up leaving a bad taste in my mouth, just the way they executed it. And I don't know who they've got writing right now, but they're doing a lot better job than previous recent writers, but there's still tweaking that needs to be done.
Monday night, it's not that Monday night shouldn't have happened. Charlotte should have won Monday night.
Right. You just wanted that. You were emotionally invested more that night than you were tonight.
Because there was a lot more on the line. But emotional investment and drama was not their concern Monday night. Getting AJ Lee's name out of the record book.
That was their concern.
That's what their concern was, because it's WWE. You know, you get caught saying something racist, you walk out on us, you marry the guy who walked out on us and then retire early, you don't get to have a legacy.
Yeah.
You don't get history.
She wasn't forced to retire. She felt she had to because she felt caught in the middle between Phil and Vince. So at that same time, you know, WWE was pissed off that she felt that she had to and wound up going through with it. What can you do?
Sometimes collateral damage is just collateral damage.
This is true. Absolutely true. But, it kind of awesome at the end of the match, of course, with Charlotte with the belt, and she's all happy, and out comes Nietzsche. And he's doing his best to make it look like he's crying tears of joy in the ring at one point, and I'm like, come on, Rick. Come on, Rick. Pull a nose hair. You can do it.
He did. He let them flow. He did.
Yeah. It was, you know, I guess you call it touching. It was cool to see that.
It was, and then they did the backstage bit a little bit a couple minutes later where he really let loose, and there's a picture for everyone to go look at, posting in the chat room, and I put it in our Skype chat as well. Very timely photo. Flair with his belt.
With the world title.
Mm-hmm. And Charlotte, oh, wow, with her
Charlotte
belt.
With the Divas title.
That's kind of awesome. Not going to lie.
Keep grabbing at that spotlight, Rick, even though it's not yours anymore.
There you go.
Well, you know what?
I do wish I can't begrudge him this.
I do wish the belt on the right looked as respectable as the belt on the left.
But you can only win some battles.
He's holding a giant plate of gold, and she has something I could have bought at the cheap jewelry store at the mall,
which they probably got the inspiration from because it looks like a Beretta on steroids. We've got somebody in the chat room calling himself WWE writer, claiming that he's the one who's fucking up. Well, cut it out.
Well, he's Canadian, so
wait. We confirm we have a WWE writer listening. This might have blown everything open.
Yeah, wait a minute. He's Canadian? What part of Canada?
I believe Quebec.
Quebec, huh?
Or Ontario. I think one of the two. I'm double-checking. So we're looking into it.
Yeah, looking into it. You're going to find out what his internet service provider is?
Toronto, Ontario.
He's from Toronto. So yeah. not necessarily from Toronto proper. But that's where it's originating from. I mean, like with my internet, it tells people that I'm from Edmonton. That's just where the main hub is. Anyway, WWE writer, we're just teasing you. I'm glad that whoever the hell you are, glad that you're in the chat room and checking out the webcast. And you know what? We're glad that all of you are here tonight listening to us ramble and talk about this thing that we enjoy so much called professional wrestling. But on that note, I think it's time for our first, last, and only break of the evening. Yes, everybody, it's a slightly abbreviated show because we're on an hour later. Some of you have to go to school tomorrow. The rest of you got to go to work. You're listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, did you win a copy of Daniel Bryan's autobiography? You'll find out in just a little bit. We'll be back right after this.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra. Weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
That's no gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird shit becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, work schedule and whatnot. But,
watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? Oh, I thought the people are going to be showing at the party. Why are you Gundam style over here?
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style.
Not the pelvic thrust. Did Mr. see me in the sky?
Oh, they're riding that pony.
Right on.
That 800 million. Oh, I'm scared for the future.
Yeah.
This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I got to... You gotta play something else, Rock. I heard the song. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Hey,
my baby. Oh, I hate that song, Rock. I think you just replaced the song in my head with the worst song. Now I'm watching some Hispanic dude do it in my head. Oh, now it's being cross-referenced with the Asian dude. Oh, they're having a mass Macarena.
Macarena style.
Oh. Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless, I was made in America.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
As my client Brock Lesnar said, Suplex City, bitch.
From the big returns.
So this is what it feels like to kick off Monday Night Raw.
To the shocking moment.
You will get your rematch. Put that man down. Your actions have consequences. And you know what? You're out of here. You're suspended. You know what? You're suspended indefinitely. Get out of my building now. Now get out.
And the moments that leave you speechless.
Snoop Mania, huh? Snoop Mania? Nah, Snoop Dizzle. It's called Axel Mania. And it's not a West Coast thing. It's not an East Coast thing. It's a worldwide thing. And I'm not gonna sit back and listen to you talk about Snoop Mania when Axel Mania is running wild in Los Angeles! Bow, wow, wow, yippee-yo, yippee-yay. Axelmania is here to stay.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday nights, the Rack lays the smackdown on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Join me, Lindsay Ward, and my handyman producer, Sir Rockin', as we give you all the latest wrestling news, discussions, our reactions to both NXT and SmackDown, along with interviews with some of our favorite wrestling superstars.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar. What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz. This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
This is Kane from WWE.
The future is now, when you experience The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio. Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
Hotel,
India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
And welcome back, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks once again, everybody, for joining us. And, of course, as usual, shout out to PWMania.com, our affiliate website there. Check them out for all of your wrestling news and views. PWMania.com.
Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can interact with us live during the show as well there. Or just come to WildTalkRadio.com and join us in our chat room.
Get your ass to our website and participate in the chat room, for crying out loud. That would be awesome, because we welcome your thoughts and opinions. And sometimes we even let you call in.
Just not tonight.
But not tonight. Well, yeah, it depends on how quickly we can get done, which means likely not. Anyway, next match on the card tonight, we have the
Wild Green Bay.
Okay. We've got the Wyatt family taking on Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, and their mystery partner. Speculation running rampant all week long, it was The Rock. Kids, I'll tell you right now, we knew it wasn't for a couple of reasons. The biggest one being, if it was going to be The Rock, the WWE would have made some kind of noise about it.
Exactly, and well...
The Rock would have made some kind of noise about it.
Yes, he would have. Yes, he would have.
I had people all week long coming up to me and saying, so is it going to be The Rock? It's going to be The Rock? No, it's not going to be The Rock. I don't mean to keep cutting you off, but I just wanted to finish my thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, it wasn't The Rock. No. Sadly, it was not The Rock.
No, it was just some nobody from NXT.
Yeah. I honestly thought, hey, it's going to be the Great Khali. No, it wasn't The Rock. No, it wasn't him. No.
No, it was the damnedest thing. You get Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose in there, and then his third partner, you know, some guy from NXT, jumps in the ring, and even the security doesn't know who the fuck it is and drags him out. What a dick move.
Right. As some fans last night wanted to be Rey Mysterious.
Rey Mysterious?
I was reading their Instagram last night of certain people who they wanted to come back.
It's the Chinese knockoff of Rey Mysterio.
It was Rey Mysterious.
Hey, shit, you know, I was expecting Nash Bridges.
Like I said on Twitter, it could have been Braden Walker.
It wasn't Braden Walker.
Mm-mm.
It wasn't Corbin.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God for that one. He wasn't ready.
A lot of people were thinking that, and we actually got swerved a little bit by WWE because they did post something up for about a cup of coffee.
That was never proven.
It was fake, Tim.
I know, it was fake.
Jeez.
Nor was
Let's at least try to sound like a credible source of news and opinions for once.
We'll not
continue to bullshit things that were obviously photoshopped.
Oh, for crying out loud. You got to learn to lighten up and have fun.
Right, and we can confirm...
I'm building Mario levels to fuck with my friends. I'm having a lot of fun.
Yeah, we can confirm...
With us, you loner!
We can confirm it was not the Patriot either.
No, and it wasn't Bret Hart making a surprise return because he wants to win the U.S. title one more time.
He's already done that.
Hey, I predicted that, and Tim was right, so shut up.
Again.
No.
Broken clock, right, once in a while.
Yeah, broken clock twice a day. Ladies and gentlemen, your mystery opponent, Y2J.
It was the right choice?
Well, you know, Mace actually said something about
it. It was
that.
A choice.
I mean, it wasn't the biggest surprise, but it wasn't a surprise that would let you down.
Well, you know, the crowd was absolutely in a tizzy. It's a live crowd. They absolutely blew the roof off. When his countdown clock started.
Yeah, it was one of those choices that sort of, it makes sense because, well, you know, hey, we've had the guy on the, I wouldn't say the indie circuit, but on the live show circuit for a while. We need someone as a mystery guy. Sure, why not? Let's use Chris. Chris, you need an extra paycheck? Sure! Is Fozzy still sucking? Yeah! But, yeah, so, you know, it's like...
That was good. Do they still suck? Yeah. Okay, come wrestle.
Pretty much.
Oh, shit. Yeah. So, you know, YTJ and I had a little smile on my face. I'm thinking, yeah, because, you know, I'm a Jericho fan. I'm, I don't want to call myself a Jericho-holic. But
you are a Jericho-holic.
Not completely. I mean, I know Chris, or at least I used to know Chris, and he had his moments when I knew him.
Have you ever made your homebrew version of the Jericho-hol?
Well,
I wouldn't be able to.
I'm not laughing at that.
What are you laughing at?
Oh, they're doing they're getting ready for the table spot at the end of the tag match.
Yeah, you're just using that as a cover.
No. I'm serious. The Dudleys are down. New Day is setting up the table, and the leg on one of the legs buckles on the table. And out of instinct, I guess, Devon reaches over and fixes the leg for them.
I missed that.
If anyone knows how to fix a table, it's Devon.
It's like he didn't even think about letting them do it. He just said, "Oh, that's messed up. Move."
Veteran experience right there.
Don't want to fuck up the spot. Here we go. it's kind of funny.
Anyway, continuing on. Jericho's a mystery partner.
Yeah, and, well, you know, it was a six-man tag match. I don't know what anybody would expect that was, like, out of the ordinary, except for the WWE fan who invaded the ring to try to become the third partner.
He was dressed to compete, too. He had his Shield gear on. He's ready to go.
We all know it was really meant to be Hogan.
Rock.
I got nothing. So
yeah.
So this match went on. This wasn't an Aldous World match, but it was really enjoyable. At least to me, it was.
It was watchable. It was enjoyable.
It was better than the fucking
one at a time.
Yeah. No. It's the New Day. How could you not be entertained?
We're not talking about the New Day.
You still wish us were talking about the
brain?
New Day.
Well, I wish we were.
No, we're talking about the three... Mace, it's the three white guys.
The Shield. Talk about the Shield.
Oh,
stop falling for twin magic, dude.
Hey, wait a minute. Roman Reigns isn't a white guy.
What are they talking about, Roman Reigns?
Doesn't look like the other.
That's a bad idea, dude.
You know what? I couldn't give a flying fuck about this match, to be honest. So, yeah.
I enjoyed it.
I didn't mind it. I mean, it was perfectly fine for what it was. I'm not really sure where to go with this. It was not a bad match. It was watchable, like Rock said. Was it off the hook? No. Was it off the charts? No. Were you expecting it? If so, you're a nutball. That's all I can say about it. It was the Wyatts versus the Shield. And Jericho.
It was put in a position to be a solid match, bridging the gap between the emotional Divas title match and the two main events to come. So it was in the spot where it can't outshine everything, but it delivered in the ring, and there's probably story coming out of it. So, you know, you can't ask for any more, at least to me.
Yeah, you know, I can live with it. It's just fine. Looks like at the end of the match, Chris Jericho was doing a little mini heel turn. Hey, there's a shocker.
Jericho's coming back to TV. Let's turn heel. He tags himself in, goes for a lion salt, Strowman powered out, Bray threw Roman into the barricade, Codebreaker attempt, Braun hits, I guess, the version of the Dominator, sort of, and then choked him out. Not a bad finish. Braun looked strong. Luke and Bray were fine. Dean and Roman were good.
And, of course, Jericho's sacrifice for the loss doesn't do any damage really to Ambrose and Reigns.
No, it just adds another layer to the story.
Yep.
It was there to make our new Wyatt look good. Which, yeah, he stands there and tanks damage like a motherfucker. That's about all he's doing right now.
It's all they need from
more nerds!
And he always has to fix his shirt so it doesn't show the fact that his nipples are pierced.
Thank you, Rock.
You're welcome.
Oh, my God.
He's the rebellious Wyatt.
He is the rebellious Wyatt.
The rebellious one. There you go.
But, yeah, it was good. After the match, Jericho was getting up, and Dean and Roman were looking at him, and Jericho bumps Dean and looks like Jericho versus Dean coming up?
I'm thinking maybe. Now, is Jericho's return confirmed?
Chris Jericho says they've always asked him to come back on TV, and he's refused. He'll only come back if there's a story. Seems like there's a story.
Well, yeah, they never really had any closure between Jericho and Wyatt, so there's your story.
Right.
But then again, at the same time, now we're starting a new one with him sort of disrespecting the Shield boys.
Yeah, so Jericho's always good at helping the newer talent get over, and, you know, him working with Dean and Roman can only get them in positions where they're stronger in the end.
Yeah, and Jericho has always been gold at putting over the new guys.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
He did good things for Bray Wyatt last year, so.
Absolutely, yeah. So, bring on the mini feud.
See where it goes. It adds another star to Raw every week if he's going to be around. So it just adds more star power.
Yeah.
It's still another borrowed star, though.
Yeah.
Like, at some point, can we stop relying on guys who were relevant 20 years ago?
At some point, they'll have to.
And when they start...
I'm not sure about that.
And when they start to, and then they see their ratings go, downward, hey, we need some actual help. So that's where they make the calls, to like Jericho. So, we'll see.
Our ratings are crashes. Bring on the part-timers! Nostalgia!
I'm just waiting for a little bit more of, like, you know, actual people joining the company. Like, and being in the company and being a star, rather than just saying, you know, we've been pushing you for like a whole 2 months, and we decided it's just not working. So you don't get a main event feud. We're gonna pay Brock Lesnar to do it instead.
Definitely annoying on more than one level for a few people, if annoying is a good word for it.
So, well. We'll see where it goes. Now it's time for the main events, Tim.
It is. Well, the first of the double main event. Of course, we're talking about Seth Rollins defending, first off, the U.S. title against John Cena, and secondly, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship against Sting. And this is where I was having problems with my feet.
So this was a really good match between Rollins and Cena, guys. What do you think?
Well, now this is
Yeah, by now I expect them to work a really good match.
Yeah, these guys have been working together long enough with these feuds and stuff that they pretty much should know each other quite enough to put on a top star match, which they did.
They did. It looked like Seth Rollins was digging into Finn Balor's moveset just a little bit a couple times. Hit the sling blade once, hit the double stomp from the top, you know.
Did we get the springboard stunner? I don't think he got all that.
No, we did not get that. That was not in my... It's not in my notes. We did not get that move tonight.
Anyway, I'm shocked.
I think he's realized it sucks.
Yeah, so instead, let's really do the code red.
Yeah, we'll still do the code red, even though it nearly broke my neck last time I tried this.
Yeah. But again, like, I'm surprised, like, Seth Rollins is a strong motherfucker. Like, deadlifting Cena up into a powerbomb, that took a lot of effort. Because, you know, Cena wasn't helping all that much. He was like, I'll keep you steady, but that's about as far as I'm going.
Some of the deadlifts by Seth on for Cena, ooh, they were impressive tonight.
Yeah, and if there's one thing like to say over both matches, Seth needs to be a bit more careful with the way he works. Like, he was taking some bumps tonight that I'm sitting back going, don't take that one too often, or else you're going to end up like Daniel Bryan.
So yeah, this was a really good match. The superplex float over into a suplex gimmick. It's impressive every time.
It is.
It really is. Even though it gets less special every time, it's still impressive. Rollins got some nice height on his Miss Frog Splash, which ended with an Eddie chant. But in the end, leg drop from the top, and the AA, John Cena, is once again the United States champion.
I've got a problem with this.
Oh my god, worst thing in history. John Cena wins the title too much. Salt.
Yeah, we're gonna get a whole bunch of internet sulking starting almost immediately. I think it already has started.
Wait, let me get the chips. I'll get the chips because they're gonna need some salt after this.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not gonna jump back on that Cena bashing bandwagon, but at this point in time in his career, I don't think he needs a belt anymore. I understand he's been doing great with the U.S. title open, whenever they pulled that up when he had it previously, before losing to Rollins. But, you know, this was, you know, this match and the main event were totally inverse to what I called. And the only reason I called what I called was because, to me, that made sense. And I should have known better, I guess. I don't know. But, yeah, no, you know, right now, Cena, in this point in time in his career, he doesn't need a title.
No, he doesn't.
I'm not sure it was, in this case, it wasn't about that. It was telling the story for Rollins to make it, to set it up for Sting to have a more possibility of winning his match.
Yeah,
but it's like, this, well, he just took a loss, and now he has to go straight into a world title defense.
But this finish will make people happy because it gets John Cena out of the WWE title picture, which is everyone was all upset about when he went to the main event at SummerSlam. Now he's back out of the title picture, so everyone can relax and be okay with John Cena having great matches with talent on TV again, like he was doing before, which is probably where they're going back to again. Which was good, because they were some of the best parts of Raw when he was the U.S. champion. So I don't mind him holding the title. You say he doesn't need a title at this point, but if it puts entertaining matches on and he's not in the title picture, I think it keeps people happy.
Yeah, the U.S. title's more used as a distraction to keep Cena being popular, being on TV, putting on good matches, without having the complaints of, oh, he's going to draw Ric Flair for the title and all that other salty bullshit that goes on every time Cena gets near a main event. Which, to be honest, I don't mind. Cena's at that point where he should be putting on good matches with up-and-coming talent that we will see in the future become the next set of superstars.
Now, if booked right, we could have an Intercontinental Champion and a U.S. Champion put on great matches every week, if booked right.
Do you forget which company this is, Rock?
I'm just saying. If
we'll probably go back to the U.S. Open with John Cena holding the title, which, you know, that's fine. That's great. He's going to make all of these up-and-comers and possible contenders look really good, even though they're not going to win the title from him. And, okay, fine. But I want to see him do a U.S. Open tomorrow night and wind up losing the title to somebody.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
I know. I'm just saying that's what
they have
want.
A bunch of T-shirts ready to make with the U.S. title on them. So, you know, they have marketing to go through with him. So, anyway, so then we go to the second one. Before we do, Seth Rollins tried to leave. He gets AA'd on the floor. And then out came Sting. And then we had a first Sting. This was good.
The thing there being for Sting.
No,
this late age.
He did a lot. For his age, for being 56 years old, he did a lot.
He took a lot of punishment, and I didn't expect a 56-year-old to jump to the outside from the top.
After going through the Spanish announce table.
Now here's the thing. Going through the Spanish announce table and clipping the back of his head on the corner of the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm just right now. I'm floating different websites, reading comments and posts and stuff like that, and people are calling it a botch.
No,
the way he went through the Spanish announce table, they're calling it a botch.
It was odd looking.
It was
awkward. It was like this little hop before he went through.
Yeah,
I watched the replay, and no matter how many times I watched the replay, it just doesn't look right.
It just seems like
from a worker point of view, or even a viewer point of view, it just looks odd.
Well, did it come across to you like Sting actually kind of sort of jumped a little bit extra to get some distance when he got pushed across? That's what it felt like to me.
Yeah,
and, you know, obviously,
sort of I've been pushed, and as I've gone backwards, oh, there's still table behind me. Shit. Dive.
Yeah, it just looked awkward. It looked like it felt awkward. So, but the speculation is running rampant right now. Oh, he was legit injured because halfway through the match, he didn't look 100%. He didn't look all there. This, that, and the other thing. No posts yet at all anywhere about Sting getting legitimately injured tonight in the middle of his match. Ending of the match makes me question. Because I was saying at the top of the show, if Sting wasn't hurt, I mean, like, give the guy an Academy Award for selling, because he did a damn good job.
Again, Sting's been wrestling for over two decades. He should know how to sell by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And but it was such a masterful job, and it's just something that, to me at least, it just feels like to me that it was lacking, or it what he did tonight is something that's lacking in WWE, generally speaking, with the majority of the people. I mean, they still have some guys working for them. They've got some guys working for them that do know how to sell. But, you know, and I pointed it out, watching John Cena no sell a move that he should be selling 10 times harder than, you know, he is, it gets aggravating sometimes. You know, he's like shot with a shotgun and he's dead on the floor outside the ring, and the ref is counting 7, 8. And at 9, all of a sudden, Superman, you know, with his burst of superhuman strength, leaps into the ring instead of crawling into there and just rolling under at 9, which is what he should do.
Again, nitpicking.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. The amount of the match that I did see, bits and pieces of it, you can see that Sting still has a little bit of rust on him, but overall,
hey, at least he wasn't in the t-shirt tonight.
No.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, he looked good tonight. There are reports that he could have just been, the wind knocked out of him and was a little loopy after that fact.
Yeah, well, it did happen directly after a power bomb into the turnbuckle, which, again, I'm shocked he took two of those.
Right? So it's like, this is why Vince McMahon is not letting Ric Flair get him back in the ring.
Well, that's one of the reasons.
Well, that's because if you did a corner powerbomb to Ric Flair, he'd disappear into a puff of smoke. But
yeah. Sting did very well. The dive from the top was nice. You know, taking the spot into the table.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins taking that crazy-ass dive when he was on the rope and getting... Falling backwards.
Dude, I looked at that and I'm like, no, nigga, don't take any of that. No, bad.
Yeah, that was a little much. I don't think he needed to do that, but Seth Rollins believes he can do it and bounce right back up. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, keep taking those and see what happens. You're probably going to end up in a friggin' wheelchair, dude.
But in the end, Seth Rollins counters the deathlock into a small package, 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
Seth Rollins retains, and they kind of set up the finish where they were putting over the small package with Sting winning his title from Ric Flair way back when on Raw, in the highlights they were doing on Raw. So they kind of, you know, told us, hey, that happened to Sting once, and now all this time later, it happened at the pay-per-view.
Well, it's kind of a theme of the night, I think, because Owens won with a roll-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they were working like those quick pinfall, like surprise finishes tonight, which it was weird in that match because, you know, like, you know, you were talking about scientific wrestling and actually telling a story. He was working Ryback's arm the whole match, and then the finish was a roll up.
But it worked. No, it worked because he wasn't able to hit the shell shock. So
see, if it was the right arm, I'd buy that. That's doing most of the lifting in that move, but it was the left arm that only really supports it.
Now you're just being picky.
Hey, that's been our theme of the night.
Right. So Rollins retains, he's celebrating, and you hear Sheamus music hit. He comes out, he's cashing in, bro kick. He says, I want to cash in. And then Kane shows up. Not corporate Kane. Oh, no.
No. Old school Kane. 2002 Kane.
Or the one from a year
ago.
Well,
yeah. Not quite 2002, probably 2005 onwards. The mask changes the time period.
He grew his hair out.
Boy, that was quick. He must have used Rogaine.
So, Mask Kane shows up. Chokeslam the Rollins. Sheamus says, one more time, chokeslam to Sheamus, and then it ends with a tombstone to Seth Rollins, and Kane stands over Rollins as the night ends.
And there's your setup for the feud where Kane wants to get even with Seth.
So, go ahead.
You step back and it's bizarre. The Dudleys are going after the tag title, Sting's in the main event, and Kane's clearing house at the end of the pay-per-view. What year is it?
1995.
One of the tweets for Tweet of the Week this Thursday night on the Rack, it was from Scott Fishman. He goes, Chris Jericho staying the Dudley Boys, Mass Kane. I can't wait for Nitro on Raw tomorrow.
I remember that tweet.
So, there you go. It works with Taker and Brock in the main event at Hell in a Cell. Kane as your challenger. It works.
Yes. It's going to work. It's got to work.
It's got to work.
All I can say is thank God that we're getting near the end of the Seth Rollins title reign. Don't believe me? He's in a feud with Kane. That shit's going to end his title reign at some point. Whoever's coming afterwards, getting that belt.
Yeah, Kane's not going to win the title, everybody. Don't worry.
He's the gatekeeper.
If you pick Kane next month for Pick'em, you have issues.
Yeah, I mean, but seriously,
wow, actually,
like,
I just don't want to know what that.
Like, you look at how the next pay-per-view is set up. You've got Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell, and you've got Kane looking to avoid a pedigree going after the world title. I cannot wait for No Mercy 2002.
Hey, next month we're getting the rematch of 2002.
13 years in the making.
For one night only, the second time around.
You know what? Just let that sink in real quick. We're having a rematch, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker, 13 years afterwards. And for Hell in the Cell, again.
What year is it?
Let's do the time warp again.
Like they say that wrestling is circular, but fuck, I didn't know we'd gone through enough to do a full rotation.
Apparently we did, amazingly enough.
Oh, good God, that's created that a time getting paradox.
There you go.
Katie Vick 2.0 somewhere?
No! No!
Yet, Soviet. Wait, there's another era.
If we're doing 13 years ago, Omega.
Jesus.
It would come back.
Look, there's already, some news story about a prime minister fucking a pig. I don't need to hear any other necrophilia stories.
I didn't know that bestiality qualified as necrophilia.
It was a dead pig.
Oh, well, then it was necrobestialophilia.
However, if we are flowing back to 2002, does that mean we're going to get a return of the Hurricane?
Stand back! Anyway, that's Night of Champions. It was a good show.
It was enjoyable. I was very entertained by this pay-per-view. It was fast-paced. It didn't drag where you expected it might drag. To me, the worst match of the night on the card, I said it once before, I'll say it again, was Rusev versus Ziggler. And even that wasn't a bad match. I would call it the weakest match, the weakest storyline. But it was still, it was a watchable fight. Yeah, I liked it. I think it's, with everything that we've gone through this year so far, maybe it's a turning point. Maybe we're turning a corner.
Don't call it a turning point. Don't call it a turning point.
Is that a bad word?
That's a TNA pay-per-view. Don't call it a turning point.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to jinx them and have them have their TV deal canceled and their last show being in February 2016, despite being watched by 1 billion homes.
Oh, they have the reach of 1 billion homes. Billion. And, Dixie Carter comes out and says, our contract's up at the end of the year. And Bob Ryder says, good things are on the horizon.
Ooh.
Like riding off into the sunset.
We're going to the Food Network.
Just because we haven't announced anything in a timely manner, there are good things coming.
Yeah, but we're not going to tell you because fuck if we know yet.
We have things in the works. Good things are coming. Just stay with us.
With our reach of 1 billion people, 1 billion homes. And our attendance of about 200. I love that there's actual photos of a completely empty arena and just a handful of people in the seats, and they still have the gall to go, no, attendance was great.
Yeah, didn't they have 100 people there?
No.
Not even?
They said 750 and 500 and stuff like that, while NXT was doing 2,200 in Texas.
They actually stated those numbers themselves and said, no, we had good attendance for TNA.
For TNA, yeah.
For TNA, yeah, okay. It was great attendance.
They were doing just comparative speak. Comparatively speaking, TNA did okay. In other words, we got the same 50 people we always draw.
No,
to our credit,
We did better than Wrestling Society X this week.
Yeah. No, Bob Ryder went out on a campaign going, you know.
Fuck, I did better than Wrestling Society X this week.
but
I signed up 30 people.
Way to go, Tim. Way to go. Follow Flames Forums on Twitter. He'll get you free food if you're in Canada. Or Calgary, at least. But yeah, they were going out on the campaign.
Shot taker.
I read your tweet. Anyway, no, he
was 50 bucks!
Oh, okay. But he was going out on the campaign trail of going, yeah, we had good attendance. Since we're not being on the road for a while, we have good attendance.
Compared to the other independent wrestling organizations that are out there.
Right. And you can only draw 500 people with Kurt Angle and Jeff Hardy advertised.
Yeah.
Hey, we outdrew Global Force Wrestling!
Oh, and the plus side, they may have 500 people, but apparently...
We outdrew all the wrestling shows that didn't have a show that night that we had a show.
Yeah, but apparently they
including Canadian All-Pro, which hasn't been running for a while.
Hey, we're on an indefinite hiatus.
But no, they were giving out free tickets. So... What?
That's sad. Oh, yeah, we couldn't give it away. No kidding. Oh, my God, makes you wonder.
Anyway.
What's that? Free tickets to it. What? TNA, sure.
Wait,
what are you talking about? Not strippers? No,
I gotta go get a root canal without freezing.
Wait. We are giving away...
I'm washing my hair.
We are giving away free tickets to a wrestling show. We are back in the 90s. We really, really...
Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, back to the pay-per-view.
That's Night of Champions, everybody. If you watched it, you know, you form your own damn opinion, but I liked it.
Yeah, it's a good pay-per-view. We should announce who won... The digital copy of Daniel Bryan's book.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter where you live on this planet. If you actually won, then you're actually going to get the goddamn digital copy.
To Chris Pierce and Michael and Nick Diddy, email me, tweet me, Facebook me, somehow get in contact with me, and you will win a copy of Daniel Bryan's book. Digitally, Josh, congratulations, going 6-2. Your package is going to be in the mail tomorrow with extra goodies, since it took me a couple more weeks than I thought it would to get it to you.
Yeah, Josh, hit me up on Skype, will you?
But yeah.
Tell me Josh has Skype.
I don't know, but I have his address, so you're good.
Okay, but hit me up on Skype, Josh, you little prick.
But yeah, so they all went 6-2. The 8-Ball went 5-3, Aaron Frost, Rob, me.
Wait, whoa. I lost out to the 8-Ball?
Yeah, Tim, you lost out to the 8-Ball.
Fuck you, Magic 8-Ball.
Sheila, Subway, all went 5-3. Mace went 4-4. Chase, you went 4-3. Tommy went 4-3. Jersey Girl, Omega, and Tim went 3-5. And Lindsay went 7-1.
Oh, God, I'm not going to hear about it for the entire week. Sheila was one pick away from winning.
Yeah.
She's not going to let that go. You know that, right?
I'm still betting mid. I'm good.
So there you go. Yeah, and that's Pick'em, everybody.
That is Pick'em.
Yeah, what's next?
The all-time greatest is next.
Well, why don't we do that?
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop-de-freaking-do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
This week in the all-time greatest, it is Bob Backlund winning the WWF Championship against the debut of Kurt Angle. Omega.
I give it to the debut of Kurt.
Okay.
I don't know. I was so, like, thrown off when I can remember as a kid Bob Backlund winning that belt. I didn't know what to make of it. Like, even as a kid and still believing everything was real, I couldn't buy it. Because, mm-hmm. At the time, I didn't know the history of Bob Backlund.
I'm right there with you.
Like, this is just some random guy. And this is, where I wonder why WWE keeps bringing back the older crew. The older guys. Like, how many kids at home do you really think know who the hell Sting is in the first place?
Right.
But is Sting going to bring back people who walked away from wrestling? the ones who spend money.
Did Bob Backlund?
Yes.
Then why'd he lose the belt back in 8 seconds?
Because that's the way they booked it, because it was Diesel and he was a member of the clique. I win.
Mic drop, he wins.
No, Kurt was interesting because it's a, yeah, it's a completely unproven guy coming in. But at the same time, Olympic gold medal wrestler. That's, that was kind of different. It's a different kind of credibility, which is rare in the WWE. And it's legitimate credibility.
Ooh, legitimate credibility. Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
This is, he has a piece of metal around his neck.
Fancy. All right, Mace, what do you got?
I'm actually going the other way. I'm going with Bob Backlund winning the championship off Brett. Because, frankly, I went back, I rewatched the moment. Oh, my God, Kurt Angle's debut was boring as batshit. Seriously. Sean fucking Stasiak. Really? Well, the crowd shit all over this thing from start to finish. The match was terrible. Horrible match.
Well, they wanted...
Sure, Kurt might have, you know, metal around his neck and credibility, rah, rah, rah. But you're going up against Sean Stasiak. I'm sorry, you can't wrestle a piece of shit and expect to get over.
Get it right.
You don't believe in the three eyes?
Get it. I didn't back then.
Mace, get it right. It was a piece of meat, not a piece of shit. He was a piece of meat.
Don't.
Forgot the gimmicks.
No. That was just too obvious, Rod.
But with Brett versus Bob, I actually enjoyed it. Like the drama of like Brett being trapped in the chicken wing, can't get out of it. Owens not wanting to throw the towel in or anything like that. And you have Stu and Helen both coming in and being involved in the decision. And once again, the Hart family screws over Owen Hart and throwing in a fucking jacket. That's not a towel. It's a jacket. Doesn't mean shit. Sorry. But Owen didn't do anything. He wanted to see his brother get out of it and try and be triumphant. No, but the family says, no, we got to protect Brett, the lovely golden child.
Oh, God, are you pushing it, trying to be a Blackheart supporter?
Yeah, I was...
You are reaching, brother.
But the thing is, I'm not reaching. You fucking look at it, and that's the way it comes off.
Oh, I'm loving how you're doing this. This is great. It's like you're digging a hole, but it keeps filling up with the same shit that you're digging out, so you just don't drop any further. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, hell, I wasn't, to be honest, a Hart family fan back in the day, and I definitely wasn't an Owen fan at all.
Yep.
Back then, but, you know, going back and watching this and just judging it on its own merit, yeah, once again, Owen being screwed over, you know, the Hart family caring more about Brett than they did about Owen. So, you know, but it was drama. It was drama. It got us involved. It got us feeling and you know, wanting to be pissed off and shit, and that's what matters in wrestling.
God, you are too big a fan of JBL as a commentator.
Fuck Earth.
Dude, you're saying this, and I'm hearing JBL saying the exact same goddamn thing. I'm hearing you talking in JBL's voice.
Had his money.
Yeah, no shit. Holy fuck, what is he worth? $5 million now just on his investments alone? Never mind what he put away.
God only knows. Depends on the stock market of the day, really.
God damn, that guy's a pretty savvy investor. I'll give him that much.
All right, Tim, break the tie.
Okay, what am I breaking?
The tie.
Oh, the tie. Well, then I want to pick those guys. Kurt Angle's debut is most memorable for him getting on the microphone halfway through the match, giving the crowd shit for booing the match, and figuring, well, that's not how you cheer your Olympic champion. I'm like, fuck off. The match sucks. What kind of a debut was that? I mean, you know, just shut up and go beat that meat.
I swear to God.
Yeah, I know. That was even.
I have such better things to do.
That was too much even for me. I'll admit it, and I apologize. And accept it because that's a rarity. I rarely do that. But you stop and you look at the other one. Who was involved? How many people? What was the storyline? Look behind it. It wasn't, you know, just like, here's your first shot. No, it was a whole fucking build-up behind it to lead to it. How can you not say that that was a lesser event than Kurt Angle. So guess what I'm picking?
Kurt Angle.
You're a dipshit.
All right, so Bob Backlund winning the WWF Championship moves on. Next.
Bob Backlund beating Bret Hart. I'd pick somebody who beat Bret Hart.
It's amazing.
I'm just waiting for all the fallout here. He's anti-Canadian. Fuck you.
All right, the WWF...
A.
What you talking about? A.
Fucking Bret Hart, Mark.
All right, the WWF defeats the
Elite. Tennille Lover.
Motherfucker, you wanna take that one back?
Ooh, shit, that was thrown down, wasn't it? This would make it the second time in one night that I've apologized, Mace.
Well, keep apologizing, because you ain't done yet.
So what was the next one?
Am I able to talk now? Sure. Okay. The WWF defeats the Alliance, taking on The Undertaker, winning the WWF Championship from Hulk Hogan. Mace.
You know what? The end of the Alliance storyline was bland as fuck.
It was.
Rock pins Austin, the Alliance is no more. Meh. Move on to next night with Ric Flair coming in and shocking the shit out of Vince McMahon, which was absolutely hilarious. But that's not a part of this list. But The Undertaker winning the title from Hogan was just amazing. You know, The Undertaker was up and coming. Hogan was pretty much like the biggest guy in wrestling still for some reason. And it was just basically Hogan passing the torch saying, okay, kid, here's your chance to be the main event. I'm going to go on, you know, having a feud with Flair because he cost me the belt. So Hogan's off doing his shit. And The Undertaker goes on to establish himself as a very credible champion. I found that quite enjoyable. So, yeah. I'm actually voting against something that was quote-unquote WCW-related. Shocking.
Oh, my God.
God, there's a temptation in me to pick the WWE beating the Alliance just because it ended the invasion angle. Like, how much credibility can I give to a mercy killing? No, it's hard to pick. Yeah, Mace pretty much nailed it. It was boring. It was just at that point the whole invasion was, I don't know, such a bungled storyline in the first place. At that point, it was just, let's just get it over with so we can move on to something that's actually credible. Just to get it off the plate. The match for Hogan and Undertaker, it's a better moment. I mean, for the first win for the Undertaker in his first title match, beating Hulk Hogan of all people to do it, Ric Flair coming in and helping him out is a little weird. Like something in me is like I always forget that actually happens in that match until I see Ric Flair strutting out in the robe. But it's a better moment. Not only historically, it's a more interesting moment, which is kind of says a lot about just how the invasion went.
All right, Tim.
So he abstains.
He abstains. That was the WWF defeating the Alliance, taking on the Undertaker, taking on the winning the WWF title from Hulk Hogan, Tim.
Well, Mace already said the Alliance one was like a dud, and he's right, it was. You had two WWE guys fighting against each other. I mean, how does that incorporate members of the other guys, right?
Right.
Hulk Hogan lost the title to The Undertaker?
What? That actually happened? What?
Are you kidding me? That's kind of shocking. So that's what I choose.
All right, so The Undertaker winning the WWF title moves on. Next week in the all-time greatest conversation, the Gobbledygooker gets hatched, taking on Victoria, winning the WWE Women's title in a hardcore match. And the Royal Family defeating Clowns R Us, taking on the Montreal Screwjob in the finals of the first round.
Yeah, good to know it'll be an easy week.
Next week in the all-time greatest.
Now let's do it.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio Quick Hit.
All right, Tim, I need you to concentrate, all right?
God, we're going to be here all night.
All right, Tim, you have 5 seconds to answer this, okay? Tim, you there? You good?
Shut up, I'm concentrating!
Okay, good. I just need to make sure you're there. Okay.
Shut up, concentrating.
So, Y-E-S spells yes, so what does E-Y-E-S spell?
Eyes.
Good job. You weren't Subway who went, E-S?
Okay, say silk 3 times fast.
No.
Chicken shit.
But no, I tried that on Subway last night, and wow.
And he said E-S?
Yes, and he said it 500 different ways.
He's an idiot.
And never got the word eyes. So go back and listen to that episode. So there you go, Tim.
You'll never, ever catch me up on those wordplay questions. Don't be a ding-dong.
All right.
Did you mean to take the full 5 seconds?
No.
Oh, well, okay.
No, but that's the game. You have to say it in 5 seconds. It's interesting. You watch a video of a bunch of people trying to do that, and they all get it wrong. It's amazing. Anyway, Mace, would you rather never be able to speak again or always have to say everything that is on your mind?
Motherfucker, have we not met?
But, you know, things could get you in trouble.
Again. Motherfucker, have we not met?
Alright, so you're going to always say what's on your mind. There you go.
Yeah, easy.
Okay, Omega, would you rather wear a snowsuit in the desert or be naked in Antarctica?
Oh, good lord. I'm going to say snowsuit in the desert because I'm at less risk of losing my 2 best friends. And I don't mean the ones in the Winnebago.
There you go. Tim, if you were a character in any of the Mortal Kombat games, what would your fatality be?
Oh, God, Tim. Tim in video games. Oh, here we go.
Say that again.
If you were a character in the Mortal Kombat game series, what would your fatality be?
I don't have to pick one of their fatalities. I can pick my own.
What would your fatality be?
Submachine gun. Tech 9.
Why?
So he's Striker. Okay.
Oh, I was remembering Jax.
They both had him.
All right, Mace.
Dorks.
I would think you out of existence by just using my brain power to make you explode.
All right, Mace.
Was that better?
No, the first answer is fine. Mace, same question.
I like Mortal Kombat.
You know what, I'll do a slight combo one. To rip off 2 characters, but to turn it into a better fatality. From Goro, I'll take the thing where he hits a person on top of the head and shoves their head down into their gut. And then we'll do a Sub-Zero, but we'll go spine first and pull the head out through the ass.
There you go. Omega, what's the square root of 2002?
Fuck off.
No, same question. What would your fatality be?
I would rip off my opponent's head, spine and all, spear them through the chest with the spine, and watch them fall over with their head still sticking up, bobbling around on their chest.
You cruel, cruel person, you.
It fits the game.
It does fit the game.
I was one of those kids who was talking with his friends, coming up with the most twisted fatalities we could. And this was back when the goriest fatality was punching someone's head off. These days, you can rip out their entrails one by one through their mouth.
There you go. That's WTR, Sunday Night Quick Hits.
Oh, we're done already?
Yeah, we're done.
What happened?
You answered 2 questions. You're done.
I did?
Yeah.
But what's the score root of 2002?
Dudley Boys.
No, it's not.
It's a tomorrow night is the Raw Post Show, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll recap everything that goes down on Monday Night Raw.
That's immediately following Monday Night Raw. Hey, Thursday night, it's another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rack with your host, Lindsay Ward.
We'll talk NXT, we'll talk Night of Champions, we'll talk probably a little bit of SmackDown, we'll talk all the news in the world of wrestling. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow the show on Twitter, at Rack Radio Show, Facebook.com/Rack Radio Show, and YouTube.com/Rack Radio Show. Go back and check out The Rack Invades DragonCon at RackRadioShow.com. Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 4, Episode 11, now available. And Episode 12 will be available at some point this week. They talk about Dusty Rhodes passing because they get their live reaction. It's going to be an interesting episode of The Rack Extra Total Divas this week. But yeah, everything, go to RackRadioShow.com. Follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Linz Ward.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, or as close as they can get it, another edition of the Wild, the Wacky, the Weird, the Unusual, CB Radio.
You never know what will happen on CB Radio. Last night on episode 401, yes, it was 401 last night, Ace decided to return. Not on 400, oh no, 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 401. So check that out. We'll have Rob in some ways, expert NFL picks, and so much more at CB Radio, the weird, the wacky, the unusual. CB Radio, midnight-ish, on the Wild Talk Radio Network, every Saturday night. CBRadioLive.com, CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter. Hashtag blame Rob when a celebrity dies.
44.9763.
Congratulations, Tim. You can follow me on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. You can follow Tim. He has many, many Twitters.
Well, just two that you need to worry about for now. Follow me at Flames Forums with an S. Acer, I know you're listening. You're in the damn chat room. I'm following you. Follow me back, you bugger. You can also follow me at Trivial Tim. Check me out on Facebook. Hey, Rock, check me out on Facebook. Facebook.com/menchefs. That would be Man Kitchen.
If you want to be a friend with a man, kitchen.
Who cooks and can teach you how to eat.
I'm pretty sure most people know how to eat, Tim.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, just trying to figure out, you know, think of ways to just, you know, like, send me a friend request on Facebook and I'll add you as a friend. Don't worry about it. No problem at all. Don't forget, next Sunday night, another edition of WTR Sunday Night. We're at our regular time slot of 10 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Mountain. And with following the Wild Talk Radio Network at Wild Talk Radio. Don't forget to check out Facebook, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, follow Mace on Twitter.
Yes, you can follow me on the Twitter machines at the Mace thing. You can also check out what little work I do on YouTube over at youtube.com/WTR Games Garage, where I review games and sometimes put up little vlogs as to why I haven't posted in a while. At the moment, I have just put up Madden 2016, so I get to talk some football about the game that I'm actually quite digging at the moment. Other than that, keep an ear out. I may be doing some live streaming for charity coming up in November, as I actually just got a whole heap of nice little games thanks to the people at Square Enix to use as giveaways. So keep an eye out for an ear out for that. I'll be announcing that via the YouTube channel as well as on here and on my Twitter and on my Facebook, but you people won't see it because I don't allow you people on my Twitter. Get off my lawn. Except for Omega.
That was my line.
And yeah, at the moment I'm gonna have to buy PlayStation VR because Dead or Alive Volleyball Extreme 3 is going to have compatibility, so yeah, boobies.
Hey, you know what, I think we're all in agreement when I say tits are terrific.
Hey, we got Titty Bella tonight, so you know,
there you go. Not that I pissed them off enough tonight already, but hey, Omega, TJ Reviews? What's up with that?
Yeah. Tim, stop. it's not no no.
Made me laugh.
Yeah, a lot of things that made you a lot of things that made you laugh. That doesn't make them funny. So yeah, over on Facebook it's TJ Reviews for myself. However, over on Twitter it is TJ Omega, and over on TJOmega.org, where you can find a good chunk of videos I can't post on YouTube. Meanwhile, over at YouTube, it is also TJ Omega, where 3 times a week you get a new review, 2 times a week you get a live stream, so I push out content just about every damn day of the week.
Awesome!
But can we confirm you will not do this 700 days in a row?
Yeah, anybody working 700 days in a row is an idiot.
Hey, hey, I took yesterday off. Fuck that.
There you go. That's all that matters. Just take one day off, even one day. I mean, if you want to work 6 days a week, fine. Take one day off. I mean, don't be stupid, dummy.
But he likes.
Are we taking shots? Are we taking shots?
He's a dummy. He likes the Cowboys. Good night, everybody.
Hey, wait a minute before you go. Have a great week.
I walk for my machine.
I like that he calls us all an ass as he types from work. Go home, dude. Go home.
Go home. Sleep. Fuck. WildTalkRadio.com. Where is it?
WildTalkRadio.com.